Good day, good people. I'm Brother Robert Farrell. Welcome to Contemplative Interbeings Wisdom Wednesday. Wisdom Wednesday is recorded live on Crowdcast, and we invite all of our podcast and YouTube listeners to join us each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central here on Crowdcast, and that way you can become part of the dialogue and conversation that happens sometimes during, but most certainly after. But whether you are here for the live session or you are enjoying the recording, thank you so much for being part of Contemplative Inner Being. If you will, let me know in the chat section that you can hear me okay. And if at any time there is an audio or video issue, you just drop a little note there into the chat section and we will pause to get that corrected. Well, Wisdom Wednesday. What is wisdom? Well, wisdom is not knowing more. It's actually knowing with more of you. It's knowing deeper. And Wisdom Wednesday is an invitation to open to the depths of yourself, the depths of your intellect, your will, your emotion, your senses, everything about you. Yes, open to the ground of wisdom, which is the transformation of the heart and human consciousness. Today, we're going to encounter three brief wisdom contemplations. And each one of those is going to be followed by a short period of silence where you are invited to the spiritual practice of resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. These are our four watchwords, our signs. Resonate. Does something connect with you? It might be symbolized by just a single word or a short phrase. Reflect. To meditate with images and thoughts. Respond. You can respond by journaling. You can respond by prayer. Can even respond by body movement. And rest. Simply be silent and open to the presence and action of divine love in your life. After those three reflections and periods of silence, we will close with a spiritual practice. I like to share one each week, and then a brief period for some group dialogue. And today's theme is the spirituality of letting go. So with an open heart, a calm, centered presence, take a gentle breath and let us all receive with the ears of our heart. The spirituality of letting go. You know, larger than life people go through a death of their various false selves, and they came out on the other side knowing that death could no longer hurt them. They have all died before they died, and thus they are larger than life. Perhaps you have met someone like that. Perhaps you are someone like that. You know, they fell into the big love and the big freedom, something that many people might call God. But it is true that all great spirituality is about letting go. True spirituality echoes the paradox of life itself. It trains us in both detachment and attachment. Detachment from the passing, so we can attach to the substantial. And each time we learn to let go of what we thought was necessary for our own happiness, we invariably find ourselves in a larger place, in a larger space, in a deeper union and a greater joy. Yeah, letting go teaches us that we can look back, not forward, but at the past of our life, and we can truthfully say, what have I ever lost by dying? What have I ever lost by losing? We actually have fallen upward again and again. And by falling, we find. By letting go, we discover. And then we find ourselves in our later years of life still surprised that that is true. Now, God only asks that you get out of God's way and let God be God in you. There is divinity of everything, and we deepen our experiential understanding of the depths of God's presence in our lives. The ground of God is the deepest depths of God. And in the generosity of God, the deepest depths of God are given to us as the deepest depths of ourselves in our nothingness without God. Our ground and God's ground is one ground. And hidden down in the depths of ourselves is a union that's already present. It's a union that's waiting to be realized, waiting to be lived, and waiting to be shared. We can actually experientially abide in the oneness of that ground. And the path is one of becoming detached from what hinders us from realizing the infinite generosity of God completely being given to us as this depth of ourselves. We can choose to live in a kind of empty-handed, open process of constantly letting go of everything as having the final say in who we are. And this is known as the birth of the Word in the soul. Welling up out of the ordinariness of everything is the divinity of everything. The mysticism of everyday life. Every time we catch ourselves getting reactive, every time we catch ourselves acting as if the outcome of the situation has the authority to name who we are to take a deep breath and remind ourselves that it's not true, that there is this hidden, unfelt, deep, abyss-like center in which we are being unexplainably sustained in the midst of the circumstances. And in this deep abyss, we have an opportunity to resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Now, detachment is the practice of letting go of everything that draws us away from the divine, away from God. In yearning for complete union with God, seek to remove all obstacles to the deepening of this relationship, including the unhelpful attitudes and motives, thoughts that stall your pursuit of the divine, and emotional ties that complicate your inner journey. Create relationships that are non-possessive. Care for others while leaving them free. And discard concern for reputation. Acknowledge feelings and listen to their wisdom and subject them to the discipline of the heart's goal to seek God. Actively cultivate a burning love for God. And although that journey begins with giving away physical possessions, what possesses us is greater than the sum of any goods owned. All that owns us, all that possesses our minds and hearts, our attachments and compulsions, must be healed and reconciled. It's this process of moving toward inner freedom. That's what detachment is. Allowing for greater direct experience of the divine presence. And the cultivation of inner freedom is vital to the deepening of our experience of God. As we deepen our interior freedom, all aspects of our false self are removed, and a clearer understanding of our truest self emerges. And it is this true self that dwells deeply with God. And friends, you don't even have to use that word. God is not that self-centered. In the abundant simplicity of our true self, we experience the deepest joy. Now, our feelings, real as they are, they don't even ultimately determine who we are. We are cautioned to not become attached. If you are in sorrow and utter loss, don't become attached to the experience of yourself in moments of utter loss. Rather, be detached from your loss. It's real. But know that the loss doesn't have the authority to name who you are. For only the infinite generosity of God giving itself to you in this very moment, that's what has the authority to name who you are. And whether it's sorrow or joy, don't make much of it. It'll get better. Don't make much of it. It'll get worse. It ebbs and flows. It ebbs and flows. But what is the infinite love that unwaveringly permeates the wavering ways of our hearts? And how can we reserve this inner core place within ourself that cannot be accessed by the finite because it belongs completely to God? We should even be detached from that by also being aware of our inability to practice that because we are just a human being. We know that when we are down, we're really down. And when we're joyful, we're really joyful. So we have to be very careful not to become attached to the goal of becoming detached. This is a trick that the ego likes to play on us. So we have to take a deep breath. And we have to roll with the waves of the unfoldings of ourselves and take time to resonate, reflect, respond, rest. Now, friends, letting go is an art. And if we are filled with ourself, there's no room for another, and certainly not for God. We got to learn how to be spiritually empty. Remember, blessed are the poor in spirit. And that's why we need contemplative prayer in which we simply let go of our constant changing ego needs so something eternal can really take over. It's not easy. It is not easy. And we have lost this art of detachment. We have become almost fully identified with our stream of consciousness and our feelings. So unless we learn to let go of our feelings, we don't have our feelings. Our feelings have us. And so prayer, in the big sense, is about getting myself out of the way to grow smaller so the divine can grow greater. And for many in the Western culture, detachment sounds like losing. But detachment is about accessing a deeper, broader sense of the self, which is already whole, already content. It's already filled with abundant life. And it's the part of us that is love. And all we can do is let go and fall into it. Once we move our identity to that level of deep inner commitment and contentment and compassion, we realize then that we are drawing upon a life that is larger than our own and from a deeper abundance. So become quieter, smaller, and less filled with our own self and our own constant flurry of ideas and feelings. God will become obvious in the very now of things and in the simplicity of things. Because we can never get there. We can only be there. And it's true, I think, because our desires are so persistent and so constant, we begin to think that we are our desires. It can literally give you a headache just thinking about how many times a day your mind goes chasing after some real or imagined desire. And none of us escape desire. This art of letting go means simply releasing the thoughts and ideas that our minds get in the habit of attaching themselves to, including the ideas of yesterday and tomorrow. If you're really honest and watch your mind, you'll see how much time that your mind is spent reliving the past and worrying about the future. Our habitual way of reacting makes us feel as if we must go on a journey with every thought that comes, or that we must wrestle them to the ground to control them. And this isn't true at all. Here's a helpful lesson. We can see the thoughts that come up in our mind the same way that a mirror sees things, because a mirror just notices. It registers whatever passes in front of it without holding on to it in any way. It just lets go. And since the mirror doesn't cling to the object that it is reflecting, when the object goes, so does the reflection. And it's the same way with your mind. We don't hold on to the random thoughts that arise in our minds. The moment that we become aware that a thought has taken form, we just relax and allow it to pass. I don't need that now. It doesn't serve me now. I don't need to engage with that now. That doesn't identify who I am. I am a beloved daughter of the Most High. I'm a beloved son of the Holy One. I need nothing else. And if nothing grabs onto the thoughts as they arise, they will keep moving on. So let your mind be like the mirror. Clear mirror, clear mind. And in that clearness, we can resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Well, that concludes our wisdom reflections for today. And now I'd like to take a few minutes and share with you a spiritual practice like I like to do each week, give you something new to practice each week, if it's helpful for you. This practice is titled Let Go and Return and comes from a writer and spiritual director Caroline Oates. She perceives contemplative practice at the heart of Jesus's rhythm of ministry. It's his example that teaches us to detach from our judgments and expectations so that we can return to divine presence. Now, Carolyn writes about something that I've actually done too. I've looked through the scripture to see everywhere it talks about Jesus praying and see what happens. And she says that the gospel accounts show us that Jesus himself lived this contemplative prayer beyond words or inner room practice as he often ventures out alone. Sometimes being in prayer through the night all by himself. Now the gospel writers, their first century audience, would immediately understand that Jesus was intentionally and consistently making time to be in the powerful and formative divine presence as a way to become aware of and attuned to the movement of the divine within and all around. It's interesting to note that when scripture talks about Jesus praying, it's not Jesus saying words. It's never there. It's always about Jesus in presence. Prayer is presence. And when we notice Jesus' times of spiritual renewal, interspersed as they are throughout the arc of his ministry, from his teaching, healing, and feeding of the 4,000 and 5,000 followers, even to his last words at the Last Supper in Gethsemane and on the cross, we begin to notice this definitive pattern in Jesus' practice as a kind of flowing back and forth rhythm. There is a continual pausing to let go. This is what scholars call kenosis or emptying. It's a Greek word, it's in scripture. It's a pausing to let go of egoic attachments, to let go of fear, to let go of judgment, to let go of expectations, and then always a returning to divine presence again and again. So it's let go, return, let go, return. So this attachment, I'm sorry, this detachment from egoic fear, judgment, expectations, and then attachment to divine presence. And the divine is the one pointed focus to which Jesus returns ceaselessly in this prayer rhythm of pause and release and return. So this can be your prayer practice for the following week where you don't have to say words. Pause, release, return. This is Jesus's formula for waking up. His formula for himself and for his followers, it is Jesus' practice for deepening the soul's awareness of and attunement with our innermost essence, the divine within us. Let go, return. Let go, return. I hope you'll give that spiritual practice a try this week. So we are about to enter into dialogue here in Crowdcast, which means we are going to say goodnight to our podcast and YouTube listeners and invite each of you to join us here Sunday so that you too can become part of the dialogue. And as we say goodnight to you, we also remind you that love is the way, that you are love. So stay awesome and be love. We hope to see you again soon.